Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Respectfully, and with eyes to see and ears to hear that you so graciously give. Thank you today for what you're about to do in the hearts and lives to help your people and to transform lives, to bring freedom, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, and all the things that you will to do in people's lives as they freely receive by their faith what you've given by your grace. And we'll give you the praise and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Praise God. Well, today we're going to continue our Inspired to Change series. Amen. And we're going to do a message in conjunction. In just a few moments, we're going to receive communion. But today, in conjunction with that, we're going to do a message that I believe that will help us and be inspired to change, like this series talked about. You know, the change I want to inspire us to is for all of us to want more of God in our lives. And you know, many times that begins in people's lives by knowing and believing God is for them. You know, you got to know and believe that God is actually for you, not against you. And then finding out all the good that He's provided them or provided us is a means of inspiration. It's a means of us being inspired to change, not just change, but want more of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Some great verses along this line we can begin with today in Romans chapter 8. We'll go through these pretty quick, but I believe they serve as a great reminder of us. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 from the Passion Translation says, so what does all this mean if God has determined to stand with us? Everybody say with us. How many know that God is with us and on our side? It says, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved His love by giving us His greatest treasure, the gift of His Son. And since God freely offered Him up as the sacrifice for us all, He certainly won't withhold from us anything else He has to give. Isn't that good news to us? We also are reminded so clearly of what Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief only comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and you might have life more abundantly. One translation says, to the full, to it overflows. James chapter 1 reminds us in verse 17 that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. See, it's knowing the truth about God that sets us free and knowing what He has provided for us all that inspires hunger for God and change in our lives. How many know we should not ever just be satisfied? I love what Pastor David's been saying, said throughout the prayer series. We need to be dissatisfied with being satisfied in our lives. Amen. So, it's one thing to be content. It's another thing to be satisfied. I've explained that before today. It's important that we understand that it's knowing the truth that about God that sets us free and knowing what He has provided for us that inspires hunger for God and the change of God in our lives. And one such truth that I want to share today is about forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. And healing. Everybody say healing. And so today's message, if you're taking notes, you could entitle it Inspired by Forgiveness and Healing. Both forgiveness of sins and divine healing are part of your inheritance as a child of God. I want to stop and make you think about that one moment. If you are a child of God, that means if you have personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then both forgiveness and divine healing belong to you. Amen. Matter of fact, the good news is, no matter who you are, you can access through faith the forgiveness of God and the healing that we need in our body, either sinner or saint can. But as believers, these are promises that belong to us. And this is why I say that we can be inspired by forgiveness and healing. So let's talk about both forgiveness and divine healing are part of your inheritance as the child of God. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3 says it like this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now notice, and forget not all his benefits. That means that we could forget them. This is why we're reminded not to forget them. Let's talk about two of those benefits. Verse 3, it says, who forgives all our iniquities and who heals all our diseases. Now, I'm not trying to be funny here, but this three-letter word, all, what do you think it means? All. So God is able to forgive all our iniquities and heal all our diseases based upon something that he wrought for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And so I want us to remember today that no matter what sin has tried to bind us, God is willing to forgive us. Or whatever sickness or disease that's come to attack our body, God did something through Jesus Christ so that the power of all sickness and disease could be broken off of our lives and we could receive the healing that God has provided through Jesus Christ. This is clearly illustrated, possibly in no better place than what is known as the great redemptive chapter of Isaiah 53. We find this portion of Scripture, Isaiah 53, and we'll turn open there, and we're going to read verses 4 and 5. I'm reminding us that this is quoted by both Matthew and Peter. Amen. And so we see that this was spoken something like 500 years before Christ came and died on the cross for us. Amen. And yet, he worked a work God did through Christ to provide not only, as you're going to see, forgiveness of sins, but the healing of our diseases. This should inspire us. Amen. Inspire us to change, to not live under the oppression of our past mistakes or the sickness or disease, to know that God has provided a way out and freedom. That should inspire us to know what God says, to hunger for God and be changed by the power of God. Amen. So surely means this is the way that it is. Not maybe. There's a big difference between surely and maybe, isn't it? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open my Bible up because I want to remind us here today as we read this, is that surely he hath borne. This word borne is a Hebrew word which we get our word NASA from. It means to, or it's the same word, it means to lift off, to bore away, to carry off, to lift off. Amen. So we see, notice it says, he hath lifted up or off or to take away. Now it says our griefs here. Unfortunately, in the King James Version here, the translators translated it grief. However, we find that all throughout the Old Testament, this Hebrew word, most of the places are always translated griefs. It is translated sickness and diseases. So we can read it like this. Surely he have lifted off our sicknesses and our diseases and carried our sorrows. The word sorrows there, it means physical pains. Unfortunately, the translators, I'm reading the King James Version, many of the modern translations will translate it sickness and disease and remove our pains. I'm letting us know that that is a better translation. So we see what he did, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is talking about the work that God did in Christ. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Notice, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Praise God. Once again, what we have here is the clear link between forgiveness of sins and the healing of our bodies. Do I have an amen in here? Very clearly, we can see this. Jesus died to provide both the forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our bodies. I'm going to say that again. Jesus died to provide both for the forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our bodies. Both forgiveness and healing are not difficult. Amen. We must just come to God, God's way. In his way is always by grace through faith. Now let's get it straight. We receive everything from God this way. Whether it's salvation, whether it's forgiveness of our sins that we're talking about today, or the healing of our diseases, it's by his grace through our faith. Amen. So both forgiveness and healing are gifts. And since gifts are given by God, they can never be earned. Grace, one definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. It just simply means it's unearned. It's nothing that we could do to deserve God's grace. Grace is something that God freely gives us. Amen. And since gifts are given by God and not earned, we must understand they are to be received because of what his grace gives and enables us to receive the only way we can, and that's through our faith in God. Amen. See, how many know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? It is hearing these promises that produces faith in the heart of man. It is letting us know that the promises of God are not earned by us. They're given by God's grace, his unmerited favor, and his love towards us. It is, however, the only means by which we can have those promises activated in our life is by receiving them by our faith. Can I get an amen? So we find that faith is this. Faith is not just believing what God's word has said, but faith is also our positive response to God's grace or to what God has already done or provided for us. It means that we must simply just receive it. So what we have to do is understand this. Our faith doesn't make God do something. Come on, I'm going to say it again. Our faith doesn't make God do something. It simply receives what God has already done or given or provided for us. If God hasn't given us a promise, if he hasn't already made a provision, it ain't do us no good to even try to believe for it. What I'm saying is, our faith doesn't make God do something he doesn't want to do. Our faith simply receives and acknowledges first and then receives what he's already given, provided, or done. Amen. This is why I said forgiveness and healing are not difficult. We find out what God has said, what he has provided, and we simply, by our faith, that God has already given us by hearing His word, we receive that provision. We receive it by faith. That's why faith is simply a positive response to God's grace. If you do not respond to God's grace, you're not in faith. You may have faith, but you're not operating in faith. See, there's a difference between having faith and using the faith that you have. See, you have to use what you have. And you realize that when you hear the word of God, then faith comes. But faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't work by hearing. It works by believing and speaking and acting upon the word of God. This is why our faith is simply a positive response to God's grace. And realize this, both forgiveness and healing. Say forgiveness and healing are part of God's grace, and our faith enables us to receive both. Now, there are many examples of this. Now, listen to me. Let this go into your heart today. Let it go in your heart, and let it cause action to come in your life today. There are many examples of how both forgiveness of sin is so closely associated with healing. Now, we've already given us two examples. Psalms 103, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all iniquities, heals all our diseases. Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Notice once again how both forgiveness and healing are associated, closely associated one with another. God wants us to get in our minds how they are associated, how they work closely together. Amen. Now, one such example of this is found in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to turn there, if you would, with me, and we want to read this portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, follow along with me. And He, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came unto His own city. And behold, they brought unto Him a man sick of palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus seeing their faith. Notice, Jesus seeing their faith. Said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Everybody say, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. In other words, another translation says, he speaks as if he's God. And Jesus, knowing or seeing that thought, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and walk? Wow. Now notice how our sins forgiven and arise and walk, He connected together. And He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith He to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power or authority to men. Amen. Now, today, as we look at this, I want to remind us, now you can do a little homework. As we read Matthew chapter 1, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, which we just read, we do not have time to read the other two instances that this same gospel account is recorded in. However, I want to give you the two other accounts so you can do a little study, because I'm going to refer to them. It is when many times when we put all three together, that we see the clearer, more accurate picture of the entire work of what Jesus accomplished and what was received by man. So write this down. This same story is recorded in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. So Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. I'm going to refer to a couple of things from those other chapters. However, our main focus is going to be right here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8. Now, let's go back to this story, and we see how healing and how forgiveness and healing are connected, and why this is important to us. Because all of us in here need both. But when we understand how they're connected, then by receiving the first, it's easy to receive the latter. Most of the time, we do not connect them together. This is why we have a problem. But in the mind of God, obviously, He's telling us something. Jesus is teaching us a great lesson. And I'm going to give a surmise here, if you would let me, amen, of how this story plays out before us here. Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now listen, the scribes and the Pharisees came to hear him teach, but they didn't actually come to learn anything. They just came to dispute what he was saying. Now we actually find that out by reading Luke's account in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It actually tells us that there was, right there, the power of the Lord was present to heal them all that were present to heal, that were listening. But none of them received that healing except the paralyzed man. Now we see repeated examples in the scripture where that Jesus actually healed individuals, yet we find other examples where Jesus healed a multitude. We find 12 out of the 17 individual cases that of individual healings in the four Gospels, we find 12 out of the 17 times Jesus said something like this, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Amen. So we see examples here of how faith played a key role in people being healed. We also see here that, as I just reminded us, that although the power of the Lord was present to heal them that were there that day, including the Pharisees and the Sadducees, none received the healing except this paralyzed man. And the religious folk of that day certainly didn't, because all they came to do was to hear what Jesus said so that they could trap him and what he said and try to criticize him. See, this shows the importance of how we come. Not just that we come. If all we're doing is just trying to check things out and prove how wrong people are, we will never receive what God has for them. But it is an interesting thing that we find in verse 2 here, that it didn't say Jesus. As we look at verse 2, behold, they brought unto him a sick man. Everybody say they. Sometimes we call it his four crazy friends. And we know the story, if we read the other, as they let him down in front of Jesus on a cot, they brought to him a sick man of the palsy laying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, sits to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So it didn't say Jesus saw the paralyzed man's faith. He said he saw their faith, the friend's faith. Jesus saw the faith of the man's friend, and they brought him and they actually lowered him from the roof on his cot before Jesus. Now, I want you to entertain with me for a moment and track with me, and I want to give you a possible surmise, a more likely one of here. Putting the connecting the dots in all three stories, I think that it would be easily to say that what I'm about to tell you, this account is probably how it happened. So apparently, this man that had been sick with the palsy had been sick for an extended time. His friends decided they were going to take him to Jesus. How many know that good friends want you to get what God has for them? A friend can bring the best out in you. A friend doesn't hide what the good things that have happened to them. A friend shares the good things that happens to them. And especially when it comes to things of God, it will invite people to a place where they can hear about the same God, the same Savior, the same Master, the same Healer, the same Forgiver that they have and receive from. The place where they hear those truths and the person they heard it from. So apparently, their friends actually talked this man into letting them bring him to Jesus. Probably what the friends did was told this man that was sick of the palsy for many years about Jesus. They probably said he's a prophet. They probably said he is the Messiah because he is healing. They knew, as under Judaism, that the expected Messiah, when he came, he would not just be a savior, but he would be a healer. He would do what no other man could do, and he could heal the sick. And so these friends told him about Jesus. But the man may have replied. Now, I'm just giving you a hypothetical. The man may have replied based upon when we put the dots together. Listen, this man probably replied, yes, I know, I've heard about him. How many people have you know, you try to help and they say, yeah, I know, but, okay. He probably said, yeah, I've heard about him, but I don't think it'll do me any good. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say that he says that in just one moment. However, his friends didn't give up on him, and his friends convinced him to go with him until he agreed. And so the man came in with their friends and their faith. And their faith brought healing to this man's body. I want you to know, amen, that is important. How we come. And many times is our faith can carry a person along until they can actually receive something from God to themselves. So we see here that, hallelujah, notice here that the first thing that Jesus said in verse 2 to the paralyzed man that was laying there, notice he said, son, be of good cheer. The Greek actually says, be encouraged. Everybody say, be encouraged. Amen. See, why did it say this? It lets us in on something very important, I believe, here. It means that the man's problem was, the Bible is revealing, he was discouraged. Anybody ever be discouraged in here? For Jesus said, be encouraged. Son, first thing he said to him, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Thy sins be forgiven thee. This reveals the man's problem, just like many times the Word of God reveals our problem. However, this man's problem, he was discouraged. Discouragement, the reason why this is so important and so detrimental in this case is because discouragement blocks healing. It keeps us from receiving. And notice the next thing he said, not only be of good cheer or be encouraged, the next thing he said is the thing he needed to hear after the first thing he says, thy sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, here's what we find, and you're going to have to track with me. The Greek language reveals an important truth here. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read, I can study. And what I want to encourage you here today is listen and track with me concerning this. Because the Greek language here brings something in the grammatical sense that reveals the intent and the import of what this is actually saying. The important truth is, this man, when he says, your sins are forgiven, the Greek actually is saying this man had been forgiven for a long time, but didn't realize it. And the result was that he was carrying guilt from his past. This is why Jesus had to say, be of good cheer, be encouraged, thy sins be forgiven thee. What Jesus was literally telling the man was, son, you received forgiveness a long time ago, and you've been forgiven ever since. Because in the Greek, and even though I may not understand all the grammatical rules, it is in the passive voice and perfect tense, it means it's forgiven in the past. And or the result is still here today with you. So what Jesus is reminding the man is, I know that you've asked forgiveness for this. You just ain't received it. But as far as God's concerned, the moment you ask for it, it's been forgiven. This man, like many today, was discouraged because something bad had obviously happened or been done in his past, and every time he began to think about being healed, the guilt of past sin overwhelmed him. Every time the memory of that sin would come to him, he would probably ask God to forgive him again. He probably asked over and over again for God to forgive him. And I dare say, I don't want to see a show of hands of how many people, including the pastor, and growing up in your spiritual walk with God, have asked God repeatedly to forgive you of something that happened in the past that you already repented of, but that feeling came back, that thought came back, that discouragement came back, and that reminder came back, and you asked God to forgive you again. Now, you don't have to stand up, shout, and say, that's me. But just know that you're not an isolated case. This is what had happened according to what this scripture or this portion of scripture is saying. Every time the memory of that sin would come to him, he would probably ask God to forgive him. It's a faith destroyer. When you reject God's forgiveness, it is a faith destroyer. He probably asked over and over again for God to forgive him. But Jesus had the answer. Jesus was telling him, son, you were forgiven the very first time you asked. This realization, listen, when Jesus said, be of good cheer, be encouraged, your sins be forgiven thee. This realization must have overwhelmed him. It must have been such a shock factor that his sin was forgiven and it was over. It shocked him, got his attention, as if God himself was speaking to him and looking through his past to what God had for him. And Jesus then commanded, now get off your bed and walk. And the man arose from his bed and walked. Sometimes we make healing such a difficult thing when it's really not. Jesus is telling us it is no more difficult to remove sickness and disease than it is for him to forgive our sins. Let that realization encourage and overwhelm you today. When the paralyzed man realized he was truly forgiven, that sickness had to leave. And as he walked out on the simple words of instruction, Jesus spoke to him, arise, take up your bed and walk. As we read, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Go back to verse 5. Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. I ask you, Jesus asked that question, which is easier. But he goes on to say, but you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go to your own home. Healing is actually outward proof. Jesus forgives inward sins. I'm going to say it again. Healing is actually outward proof that Jesus forgives inward sins. Divine healing is simply the outward manifestation of Jesus' ability to remove the sins in your life, because sin and its consequences are the root of all sickness and disease in the earth. The reason why there's sickness and disease in the earth is because sin is at the root of all of that. But when we think God won't or hasn't forgiven us, it prevents our faith from working or from receiving the healing that God offers and belongs to us as well. So we are confronted with the great question here today. What has happened? Possibly, maybe this is not true to you, but I'm telling you that this man is an example for all us to learn by. This man is an example that Jesus saw something that was this man's problem. He removed the problem and by removing the problem, which was the forgiveness of the sins in this man's heart and mind, that this man could receive his healing. This lets us know that if we do not think our sins are forgiven, there's something nagging in us that when we want to move to the place of healing, then something is always nagging us to keep us from receiving the next that God has for us. The forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our diseases walk hand in hand according to the Word of God. So the great question that could be proposed to us today is, what has happened that you cannot forgive yourself? What has happened possibly in your life today that you cannot forgive yourself for? What sin of your past keeps bringing condemnation? What sin in your past have not you allowed God to forgive you for, and you continue to not receive forgiveness for, or allow that to creep back in to bother you and to defeat you? I'm not asking you to say it out loud. I'm just saying you to pause and think, just like this man. God wants you well, and many times he just has to do the shock factor, be encouraged, be of good cheer, be encouraged, because discouragement keeps us from our healing. It blocks us, because many times this discouragement comes from some place in our life that we're unwilling or unable to accept the forgiveness, or thinking that God has forgiven us, or us repeatedly returning back to a place of failure in our life that God, if we have repented for, has already forgiven us, but because of feelings, because of wrong thinking, because of all these other things, we're unable, not because God hasn't forgiven us, but we're unable to receive it because of our own doubt and unbelief. And we need the shock factor to be of good cheer, to be encouraged. God has forgiven you of that. Amen. And because of that, rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Why is it that every time you try to press further into God's best, the past haunts your memory? It is as if you're locked somewhere in the past. And because you have been confined by your past, even by something God has already forgiven you for, you may today have remained with sickness and disease in your body because you're unable to throw that off because of the condemnation of the guilt in your own heart, even though God in His mind has said He's forgiven you, but you're unable to receive it for that reason. Understand what Jesus is saying to each of us today. Son and daughter, you have been forgiven. From the moment you repent and ask God to forgive you, it's over. It's gone. Your sin is forgiven. And now His next word to you, after be encouraged, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. Because invariably, your faith for forgiveness is connected to your faith for healing. And when you allow God to give you the first, then it's easy to receive the second. And that is exactly what God is saying. What an example that we have. If you have asked God to forgive you, then I encourage you today, simply receive it and believe it and rest in Him. Know that He's not a man that He shall lie, nor the Son of Man that He shall repent. Hath He not said it, shall He not do it? Has He not said it, shall not He make it good? He'll be merciful to our unrighteousness. Our sins and iniquities He will remember no more. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice all unrighteousness. Just like forgives us of all our iniquities and heals us of all our diseases. All on both sides. But God wants this part about the forgiveness to be all it be received. So your faith will work. So your faith is not discouraged. So you don't think God is against you. So you're not condemned in your own conscience, in your own mind. Not because God is withholding, but because weak faith can't receive and doesn't receive. But you get the forgiveness part right, and then now you can be wax strong in faith, because on the other side of be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Arise! Take up your bed and walk. Healing belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you've asked God to forgive you, I'll say it again, then receive it, believe it, and rest in Him. Stop believing the past. Stop believing the mistakes, the thoughts and feelings associated with. Be encouraged today. If you've repented, then your sins are forgiven you. Now, some people may say, well, I haven't repented. But you can. You can, as simple as being in your seat today, right while I'm talking. But today, you'll have that opportunity as well, because God not only wants you forgiven, but He wants you to be healed. Because remember, both forgiveness and healing are part of your inheritance. Both are part of your inheritance as a child of God. And if you have repented of them, they are forgiven. And healing belongs to you as well. Aren't you glad?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, allow me to dig a little deeper, would you? Amen. This is only helping us. Now, let's dig a little deeper into forgiveness. Because what I just originally talked about is you receiving the forgiveness from God of something that you've done and something you committed. But as we dig a little deeper, and we talked about that, let's talk about another step. When are you going to forgive those that hurt you? Now see, this is where we most of the time focus at. But I'm today to tell you, if we don't deal with this first part, oh, I could spend the whole time on that because I have a story in my own life of how I know how harboring unforgiveness against yourself, in other words, not accepting the forgiveness that God offers and repeatedly going back and back to God and allowing condemnation to build in your heart, it affects you physically. It will wear you down and open the door for sickness and disease. So if that is already there, then it's no way to get rid of that. The only way to get rid of it is by repenting and believing God and forgiving yourself of the past and knowing that what God said, be of good courage. I know you're discouraged, but be encouraged. And then receive not only forgiveness, but receive the healing that belongs to you. I could spend the whole time on that, but let's make sure that we go a little further into forgiveness. I'll say it again. When do you forgive those that have hurt you? It's time to not only forgive yourself of the past and forget it, the things that you've done that the devil tries to beat you up with. You have to forgive yourself. You have to receive that forgiveness that God has. Realize if God is forgiving you, you need to forgive yourself. Amen. This is what we talked about. But now it's time to forgive others that have done you wrong and really mean it. Deal with it. Because you harboring unforgiveness is not helping you. It's surely not hurting that person. It is like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt another person. It is only hurting you. Now let's look at this. We'll take just a few moments in closing today and look at this in Mark 11:25. We know in Mark 11, this great faith chapter, we find, track with me one moment, we don't have time to read this, but Jesus cursed the fig tree. His disciples asked him, how did he curse that fig tree? He explained to them. It was his faith in God. Notice, if we took time, he did not say this is a deity trick. He did not say, beware, you can't do this. He taught them how what he did and how they could do it by using their faith. In other words, we could speak to our mountain, verse 23, the same way Jesus spoke to the fig tree earlier in that chapter. Amen. We could curse it. We could ruin it. By the words we speak in Jesus' name. In other words, the mountains and the problems that don't belong in our life can be removed through our faith in God. Amen. By our faith in God, they can be removed. Amen. That includes sickness and disease, which will come as mountain. Then he talked about how we can receive what God offers for us through prayer in verse 24. And then The only place that he talks about a hindrance to our faith, the number one thing that Jesus talks about, the hindrance of our faith and us operating faith is, and us receiving from God, is in verse 25 in context. He talked about faith, and now he warns you, if you do this part at the end, and you can do the first part, but if you don't get this last part right, the first part won't work. Look at verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive if you had aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Jesus warns us of the danger of unforgiveness, as we won't be forgiven if we're unwilling to forgive others. God will forgive you as you forgive others. Jesus warns us of the danger of the sin of unforgiveness in our lives because it prevents our prayers from being effective, and our unforgiveness of our brother or sister or anyone will affect our faith negatively. And as we are unwilling to forgive others, God said, I'll be unwilling to forgive you.
That's right. Amen.
You're talking about a faith killer.
Amen.
This is why we must know the danger of unforgiveness. And we must know that forgiveness is first and foremost, if we offer it to someone else, it is a choice. It is not a feeling. It is a choice above all else. It's something you choose to do out of obedience to God's word. Because whatever God commands, it's not a holy suggestion. Whatever God commands, he gives us the ability to do it. He never tells us to do something that gives us the ability, the grace, in order to do it. Our problem is we go too much by our feelings. Our problem is we've meditated upon the hurt so long, we've taken it. We've allowed it to reach deep into our hearts. We've talked about it so much. We've rehearsed it. And when we didn't rehearse it, telling somebody else about it, the devil was playing rewind with it in our heart and mind over and over again. It didn't take long that we saw something as we went into a store and saw somebody arguing. We had a flashback. We had a memory. Come on. All these things trigger those emotional responses that just causes the root of bitterness to spring up. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12 to defile not just you, but many. However, it doesn't have to be. I said it doesn't have to be, because he says when you stand praying, forgive. That means you can. Look at your neighbor and says, you can do this. Jesus gave us the ability to do what he asked us to do. If he didn't, it would be unfair for him to ask us. Stop going by feelings. Stop going by the emotions and the thoughts that you have been so influenced by, and the negativity that you've allowed to replay in your mind. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If we want an effective, fervent prayer life, if we want our prayers answered, if we want to be forgiven, we must forgive other people. It is a choice. It is not saying, I agree with what they did. It is not saying, it's all right what they did. It is saying, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it drop. I am going to not let this hurt me anymore, because I'm going to obey God, and God is going to have the power to destroy that out of my life, to remove that root, that hurt, so that now not only am I going to have an effective prayer life, but I'm going to receive not just forgiveness, but I can receive healing and everything else that God has for me. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Now let me ask you this. This is not a trick question. Did you deserve the forgiveness of sins? Absolutely not. But it's not about what you deserve. It's about what God did by his grace. And once you find out what his grace did, then by faith you can receive that. And what God says, what I did by my grace for you, I'm commanding you to do for others. In other words, the same forgiveness that I offered you must be offered to others. Not because they deserved it, not because they earn it, but because you must allow that to work through you in order for it to work in you. If not, the scripture lets us know, and we don't have time to study this today, but in Matthew chapter 18, it actually says that we are turned over to the tormentors. So we open the door to the devil in our life. I wish we had time to teach this. Maybe we will another week. But we know this. We know that we are turned over when we allow unforgiveness to array in our heart than what we have done is we are turned over to the tormentors. In other words, we are held captive by the ploy of the enemy. Not because it's God's will, but because we have willed it through our own unforgiveness. Because God has told us what we're unwilling to forgive others for, God is unwilling to forgive us for. Forgiveness is a choice. What we need to do is take a clear look at what God did for us and then offer it the same for others. What we're to do is let it go. We're to let it drop and never bring it up again. Oh, that's easier said than done, but I'm just telling you, never to bring it up again. Listen, husbands and wives, the best thing you can do, if you've made mistakes, if you sinned against one another, repent to one another, repent to God, ask one another to forgive you, and never bring it up again. I know it's easier said than done, but I can tell you where marriages get destroyed is that the moment one makes a mistake, They look at the other and say, I just knew it was too good to be true. Yeah, I knew it was too good to be true. You couldn't keep your mouth shut. That's what we should say. But that wouldn't be right either. But that's a fact, but that wouldn't be right to say either. The point that I'm making is that we have to forgive. Let it drop. Let it go. Amen. And never bring it up again. There is such power in knowing that you are forgiven. And there's such power in knowing or acting in forgiveness. There is power in knowing you're forgiven. Amen. And there's power in our life in forgiveness. The moment you let it go, you let it drop, let that go, let it drop, there's a freedom and there's a peace that comes our way that nobody can explain but God, or you experience when you let it go or let it drop, that you're not holding that person accountable. Now, I realize that sin has consequences. It may be some ramifications that happen because of sin. But as far as you go, you're not going to hold them accountable. In other words, you're going to let it drop and not affect you in your heart and mind. If they broke laws, there may be ramifications that are beyond your control. If they broke natural laws, there are going to be some consequences to those things. But as far as you're concerned, you will forgive them so that you do not remain bound by those things. There's such power in forgiveness, and there's such power in knowing you are forgiven. Whatever that forgiveness is, whether between you and God, between you and others, or towards yourself, it's time to receive forgiveness of God in your life. Yes, sir. I trust you can see today clearer than you've ever seen before how the forgiveness of sins is so clearly associated with healing. And realizing this, making today a day to receive healing and to pick up your bed and walk. Make it today that you hear God say, be encouraged, because both forgiveness of sin and healing are part of your inheritance. They belong to you. Believe it and receive it. Come on, I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come, and just Betsy, if you would just play, and as you come, I'm going to just exhort us, because in a few moments we're not quite ready to receive communion this morning, but we need to be in a receiving mode. I said we need to be a receiving mode, so pay attention to what I'm saying. See, today, be of good cheer. If you are in that place where some sin of your past that's already, God is reminding us today, has already been forgiven if you've repented of and asked God to forgive you. If you allow that to keep beating you up, that's been a blockage, it's a discouragement. Remove that today. Hear God say, be encouraged. Your sins have been forgiven thee. If you've repented and asked Him to forgive you, it's no need to keep asking Him. Just believe it. And the moment you can believe it, God would say to you, rise up and take your bed and walk. Because which is easier, to say your sins be forgiven or to rise, be healed, take up your bed and walk? To God, they're one and the same. To the Messiah, to the Son of God, they're one and the same. And they work the same way, by God's grace and through faith. When you remove the discouragement, you allow, when you understand what God has provided, you allow not only the discouragement to go, but the thing that is hindered is gone, so that the thing that is bound you now can be removed. The physical infirmity. I believe that God wants to not only remove some sins today, permanently, but also remove some sicknesses, some diseases, because you're thinking differently. This table reminds us about those two elements that we'll get to in just one moment, but we don't have to wait to right there. Now, who in here today has been bound in their mind about the condemnation and the guilt of a past sin? To even bring condemnation, to bring the bondage and to bring the depression and the oppression in their mind. There's people. There's people. That doesn't mean you're bad. It just means this. I'm asking you this question. If you've asked God to forgive you for it, then just draw the line in the sand. You're going to have to. I didn't have the time to tell my story that happened to me 25 years ago or more. But you're going to have to draw the line in the sand and say, no, I'm not holding on to that. I'm forgiven and I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. Who in here today is the person that is holding on to something that somebody else has done against them, and they're unwilling to let it go? But today, you know you've got to let it go. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to let it go. How do I do that, Pastor? By repenting. Now, that's when you need to ask God to forgive you. By repenting. So there's people in here today, before we even receive from this table, they're in both boats. They're depressed, they're discouraged because of these types of things. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come, and I'm going to minister to you. Amen. Not going to take long, but I'm going to minister to you, and God is going to help you. There's no need of being embarrassed or anything about this. It's about getting the help that you need. It's about getting the help that you need today. Hallelujah. So who are you? Who are you? Then come. You don't have to move this. We can stay on both sides. You come on. Praise. Come on. Come on, love. Help me.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.
Hallelujah.